which is Coolidge versus Indianapolis. Yeah, Mr. Darst.
Court. The defendant's City of Indianapolis Crime Lab has a history of allowing sexual harassment against the plaintiff, Kelly Coolidge, and against other female employees in the crime lab. Plaintiff complained to the EOC twice, and she filed a lawsuit in the district court. After plaintiff filed her lawsuit, the city used every opportunity to retaliate against the plaintiff, similar to the facts in the Supreme Court case of Pennsylvania State Police versus Suitors and the Court of Appeals cases of Pryor versus Seifert Shaw and Salter versus Walmart. The employer was stretching to find any pretext to retaliate against plaintiff to discourage her from getting evidence of discrimination, complaining, and eventually to get rid of her. The jury in the first lawsuit returned a verdict against the city for sexual harassment. After the jury verdict against the city was even more motivated to retaliate against the plaintiff, to discourage her and to try to get rid of her. The defendant terminated plaintiff for three cumulative reasons, each of which was discriminatory. The jury could find that each reason was a pretext for retaliation, but the reasons were cumulative, and the jury could find for the plaintiff if the jury found any one of the reasons to be retaliatory.
I didn't understand the business with the tapes, the necrophiliac tapes. Sounds unpleasant, I must say. But on the other hand, she works in a morgue, right?
She visits the morgue from the crime lab.
I mean, so she's accustomed to a degree of contact with dead bodies in various unpleasant states that the rest of us are not. So why would she be so disturbed by this tape?
Because this is very important.
Why didn't she turn it off rather than watch the whole thing?
In answer to that, there's no evidence that she watched the whole
thing. Very fishy to me.
There's no evidence that she watched the whole thing. If you take a look at the tape, the previews on the tape are very gross for about, I think it's about 90 seconds. And she had to watch the tapes in order to determine what they were. If they really were something important to the crime lab, to index them. But they weren't. They were personal property of the harasser. She had been harassed for years by this harasser. And she had reported in her first trial that the harasser had even been making inappropriate taking inappropriate actions with dead bodies. For instance, playing with a penis in front of the female, which was not only offensive to her as a female, but also...
That's ancient history, right? I don't understand if this...
No, Your Honor, that is in her mind.
How you harass yourself, in a way, by picking up a tape which has been left behind, not directed at you, and then watching it, you know, avidly, instead of saying, oh, this is disgusting, I don't have anything to do with this.
There's no evidence she watched it avidly. She tried to look at it to see how to
index
it.
I understand that. She found it really upsetting the first few seconds. Give it to someone else to look at.
Isn't that what she did? Didn't she just look at it for a few minutes and then get it to her lawyer, or did she look at the whole tape? What's on the record?
No, she did not look at the whole tape. As a matter of fact, she called in her co-worker, John, I forget his last name, called in John, and they could not figure out any use that the crime lab would have for this.
And it wasn't labeled or anything as
evidence?
No,
it wasn't. It was labeled. As a matter of fact, her supervisor, when she took it, him said, well, this is the handwriting of Willoughby, the harasser. And it was coded like one was special and another was X. And you couldn't figure out what they were. I mean, at first, they didn't know what it was. And they're trying to figure out where to put it, what it was, and that's the cabinet that they're responsible for, to label everything, to know what it is. You can't put it back and say, I don't know what it is. She called in her coworker, and he said that he was disgusted too, and he didn't want to look at it. They gave it to the supervisor. The supervisor reviewed, he said, parts of it, and found it to be disgusting.
How many employees had access to the
file cabinet?
Yeah, the
principally
file cabinet.
Three: the harasser, the plaintiff, and her coworker John Cook.
That was it.
Right.
They were the only ones in it. So she was the only female.
Right. So she here she's been harassed for years by the harasser. She finds this disgusting. Pornography is disgusting to everybody. She takes it to her supervisor and says, look, this is further evidence that Willoughby is sexually harassing and acting inappropriately with corpses. She'd reported this before. This is very important to her professionally as well as a woman because she reported that he was manipulating a penis and that they were disgusted by that instead of respecting the body.
He wasn't employed there anymore.
That is correct.
What's the point of all this? I don't understand.
That is correct, and the city should have had a policy against any pornography there.
Is your position, Mr. Darst, that 8 months?
No, go ahead.
Is your position that 8 months after the departure of the harasser, the city should have, at a minimum, scoured any area that he might have sequestered materials?
The city should have taken action against him before this and before the jury verdict finding that they failed to take any action. They should have disciplined him. They only gave him a written reprimand. Then, after he left, the city should at least say there should be no pornography here, especially personal pornography. Secondly, if we have pornography from a case, like a bookstore case or something, should be reviewed by someone other than the person who's sexually harassed, some sort of policy, and then training about who's going to review tapes like that.
I'll tell you my concern. Let's say we have, as the case established, a harasser in a workplace.
Right.
And while we encourage all the policies that are appropriate, are we going to impose on employers a subsequent to the labeling of the harasser and the discharge and the whatever remedy is, of course, provided to the victim, a policy that there needs to be this sort of search post initial harassment to make sure there's no lingering effects?
No, I didn't request any search. I requested action against the harasser, which the jury found should have been done
right, to
prevent this, and the city did not do it. Secondly, a policy. Any employer has a policy against pornography, against
right, putting
pornography up. They didn't have any policy against that. They said the opposite. They said, you could be exposed to this at any time. She'd never been told that. That wasn't part of her duties. They could have, especially not a vulnerable person, a particularly vulnerable person who'd been harassed before. So anyway, they didn't want her to have this. They wrote her up for making a copy.
One person would react and say, well, after seeing this, I'm sure glad this guy is gone. This is a real creep, right?
He was a real creep, and that is correct.
I don't see that as continued, you know, sort of ex post harassment or belated harassment or something like that.
The city didn't do anything to correct it or help her. In fact, the city did the opposite and retaliated against her. And then terminated her.
Help her about what?
And then terminated her because...
Help her about what? You said they did nothing to help her. What are they supposed to do?
Give her counseling.
Really, aren't you blowing this up?
Say that you do not have to review this kind of stuff.
The city had no notice that these porno tapes were in the file. Right?
Not these particular ones, but
these
they
particular
said,
ones, right?
Oh, we
so
know
they had,
that
so th- I mean, that's the
they
problem
had general
I
knowledge.
Have. No, but the problem I have is, you know, he's gone. He's out the door. You know, the city really doesn't have notice about these two tapes, right? Had there been other tapes we know about his horrible behavior,
right, but
there were other similar tapes
that were found
in file cabinets
right, that
came out. No, that's what I'm asking you. Were there other similar tapes found in the same file cabinet in the earlier case? I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so then the issue is how does the city then have noticed that these horrific tapes are even in there? When you're talking about doing prevention, when he's out the door, he's not there.
To discipline the harasser in the first place, as the jury found that they should have done to prevent this kind of stuff. Number two, to implement a policy. Number three, to have something so that people who are sexually harassed don't have to do this.
The question is it really goes back to an earlier question. If a person was a harasser, after he quits, is there some duty to search his office to make sure he hasn't left traces that may later upset people?
No, we never ask for a search. The bottom line is what we ask is...
If they don't search, they wouldn't have found it, right?
Bottom line is what we ask...
What good would it do without a search?
Bottom line is what we ask is not to terminate the plaintiff for these things. When she was saying, look, here's more evidence.
That's a separate question. What I don't understand is the connection between your notion that there's a duty of some sort to your acknowledging that there's no duty to search. Because if they didn't search, they wouldn't find, right? So.
Right. But if they had disciplined the harasser...
What good would that do about the tapes? Would that make him remember his tapes or something?
Well, sure. It would have...
What?
Well, sure. He would not have continued to make pornographic tapes, to make comments and that kind of stuff.
Well, he was basically a verbal harasser, right?
Correct. And touching and asking for sexual things. But the bottom line is that we ask that the plaintiff not be terminated when she says... Look, here's more evidence of sexual harassment.
Right. But see,
here's
that's your stronger argument. It relating this to the termination.
Right.
When she finds this, she's entitled to go into this particular
file.
Here's
some more.
She's entitled to examine the file to determine whether or not it's evidence or not, or
right.
Does it relate to a case. She sees it's not evidence. So then we get into the question of is it, you know, somebody's personal property or does it belong to the city? I mean, that's, to me, is where the focus of your argument
right.
should be. In terms of what happened to the harasser, I mean, that, you know, when the city doesn't have notice, that cleaning out the file business, that's not your strongest argument. This,
well,
to me, it relates more toward your claim on the retaliatory reprimand and the firing.
Right. We ask that she not be terminated, not ruin her career, and be able to work and be continued employed.
Ms. Darcy, if I may, she did take the tapes, right?
Yes, she did,
and
copied
was
them.
Was that an essential to the reporting? I mean, she's in a crime lab, which is kind of a unique setting. It's not a McDonald's and
right.
whatever. What is your response to that? Her collection of
yeah.
the evidence of
it was not any county property or anything. It was just personal pornography, which she was afraid would be destroyed by the employer. So she made a copy and then gave it to the employer and said, look, here's more sexual harassment. We've provided that through the cases, through both cases.
More sexual harassment.
Okay. It's pornography. She said, this is pornography. We provided it through both cases to the defendant and as additional evidence about the harasser.
So you're suggesting her concern was that if she had pointed to it by identifying it, it would disappear because of the employer's approach to this generally?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
just to make it clear, so there was no file number on it indicating
no.
it was a case. There
no.
was no name
no.
on it. And there was nothing, no indicia on the tape that indicated it was some official tape.
That's absolutely right. correct.
Or but who the tape belonged to.
Could she have taken his wallet that he left behind containing nude photos? Evidence that he still was there and reaching back and by leaving... is this a degree thing?
Let's say nude photos. Yes, anybody can, when they're supposed to, say their pornographic photo, and this is gross pornography in the workplace, and anybody, sure, can take that pornography and copy it and say, look, here's what I'm being exposed to. That happens all the time.
Oh, please, that happens all the time.
Providing,
it'd be ridiculous.
Well, providing emails, copies of pornography.
Well, the reason I raised the wallet example was this required an inquiry into something. In other words, the tape didn't jump out and wasn't labeled pornographic, right?
Right.
This required a searching. That's why I used the wallet analogy. Just seeing a wallet, obviously not yours, but you open it. Perhaps to return it to the owner and then disclose their pornographic cards or...
No, there's no business reason for that. This was part of the business, to clear out the file cabinet to make room for the new...
Did her responsibilities in this area or anyone's, were there tapes generally in
English? Oh, yes. It was either the sole purpose or part of the purpose of the file cabinet to have tapes. And for these forensic scientists to know what was in there, be able to testify about it, and they can't do any of that if they don't look at it and see what in the world is this stuff.
Okay, and Willoughby's denial of those tapes being his, that occurred sometime after this happened.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And he didn't deny that the handwriting was not his. He just said he claimed that if he had done it for his personal use, he would be crazy or something like that. So he didn't deny that he didn't do it.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Osborne?
May it please the Court. Kelly Coolidge has built this case upon a foundation of speculation. This speculation is not sufficient to establish a genuine issue of material fact.
So what's your notion of why she was fired?
She was fired based upon three incidents. The first, ultimately it was because she took a memo out of a confidential file in one of the cases that the crime lab handled. And she was ultimately terminated for that based also on her previous reprimands, one of which had to do with the taking of the videotapes that you've already been discussing. The second had to do with her not handling some evidentiary material properly. She failed to make a stain card on a rape case and threw the blood sample out before that stain card was made. So the cumulative effect of the
culminated, those sound quite trivial, but the last one, that's the serious one, and what was that about?
She had taken out from a homicide investigation that she had reviewed as part of a peer review process a note that was made by her supervisor about the person that she's chosen as the comparator in this case, Sammy Mecki, that he had failed to fingerprint the correct body in a homicide case.
So she took the note and did what?
She delivered it to Mr. Darst, and then Mr. Darst, eventually we the city discovered that she had that note. She never indicated to us that she had taken it, never raised the issue with her supervisor or anybody at the crime lab. It was discovered as part of her deposition.
About the mistake that this fellow had made, this note was in a file? In a homicide file, you say police file or morgue file?
It's the crime lab's file, but it is about a homicide case.
And so she removed it, and did she make a copy, or did she?
Well, my understanding, I think there are two ways of looking at the record. I think you can infer from the comments in the record that she says that she may have made a copy and delivered it, or that she actually delivered the copy of the note to Mr. Darst.
So if she delivered the note to, assuming she just made a copy and took the copy and gave it to her lawyer, why is that bad?
It's bad because the crime lab deals with cases where confidential information is replete throughout their files. And handing over confidential information to somebody who isn't a part of that particular case, isn't the prosecutor, isn't the defense counsel, if it's asked as part of discovery.
Is there a rule or a statement somewhere that these files are confidential?
There's a rule, a county rule, that you cannot remove confidential information from a file.
So you're saying she violated a county rule?
That's correct, Your Honor.
No,
is that a firing? Is that an automatic firing offense? Does anyone who does that get fired?
I don't recall if that specifically is a terminable offense. I do know that the earlier removal of unauthorized removal of county property was a terminable offense, and they decided to use a written reprimand instead of that.
Well, one of the things she claims is that policy was not enforced much. She claims that crime lab employees assigned to cases would freely take exhibits home with them from the crime lab, you know, to study them, to do additional work and that kind of thing. And what do you have? I assume your position, you say the evidence would be counter to that. Or is there any evidence on that?
I would say there's no evidence to that other than her speculation about that. There's no solid evidence from any objective source saying that other people took information away from the crime lab.
This page that she copied, it wasn't permanently removed. It was just copied, right? Or was it permanently removed?
I think it was permanently removed, John.
And this was the colleague that had failed to fingerprint one of the dead bodies?
He fingerprinted a body and identified it as a body and or a certain person, and it wasn't that person. And he, as part of that, once that was discovered, his supervisor talked that over with him. The actual offense was he was going based upon the toe tag that was on the body, and the toe tag, whoever had put the toe tag on the body, had done so used the wrong name,
And was he disciplined for that?
His supervisor discussed the incident with him.
And was anything put in his file of a negative? The discussion, was he given progressive discipline? Was something in his file that would put in his permanent personnel file?
I don't know if it was put in his...
I'm just trying to... I understand that she removed it, but I'm just... That seems pretty serious what he did, misidentifying them.
It's serious in the sense that it could have a consequence, but with the mistake, I think, was an honest one. His mistake was that he relied on somebody else's information with regard to what body he was fingerprinting. And if the person who had filled out that toe tag had filled it out appropriately, he would not have made that mistake. His discipline, as you could tell from the fact that there was a note written into the file saying that this happened, that was discovered, and it didn't lead to any negative consequence. I do not know what was in his personnel file with regard to that, but I do know, as the court knows, that particular note was in the homicide file. And it was written by Mr. Blacklock, who was his supervisor, and so it was clear that his supervisor was aware of the situation and had talked to him about it.
So, and one of the things she was disciplined for was this videotape business, but why couldn't a jury find, based on the circumstances, that the tapes were private property rather than county property?
Well, the evidence, looking at the whole picture of this, the evidence, the one thing we know for sure about the ownership of those tapes is that they weren't Kelly Coolidge's. And they were in the custody of the crime lab, and they were in a cabinet that was holding crime lab materials and videotapes. The strong evidence would seem to suggest that, no, those weren't personal property of anybody specifically.
They were not labeled or identified as evidence.
That's correct.
There was nobody's name on them when she began to look at the tape. And there was no indication that this related to anything in the county.
I don't know that that's entirely true, Your Honor, because first of all, there are a number of references in the record that indicate that pornographic material came through the crime lab on a regular basis. There is also information.
And is there evidence that material came through and it was, like, not labeled?
Yes, actually there is. There was a discussion by Mr. Blacklock referring to an earlier prosecutor in the mid-1980s who was a very strong proponent of going after obscenity and pornography. And at the time, the crime lab's recording procedures weren't very good, and so there were a lot of things that went into different cabinets that were forgotten.
So you're saying these two tapes were a spillover from the mid-80s, these two tapes?
I don't know that to be certain, but I think they could have been, Your Honor. In any event, they weren't Kelly Coolidge's, and they were clearly in the custody of the crime lab. Furthermore, to support that they are evidence of a crime, whether or not they were actually labeled necrophilia, Indiana has shown at least some wisdom in some of its legislation by making necrophilia a crime. So that particular tape was clearly evidence of a crime. So again, I think that tends to lead to the conclusion that these tapes were the tapes of the crime lab.
So what is the relevance? Do the differences in qualifications between her and Mecki, does that have anything to do with the retaliation claim?
The retaliation for the failure to promote, yes. In terms of the retaliation for termination, no. The two points that I would have raised with Your Honors with regard to this case relate to hostile work environment, which the court has already asked a number of questions on, and retaliation specifically with regard to whether or not Mr. Mecki was a valid comparator. I'll start with that since that's been a more direct focus of the court. Mr. Mecki had an entirely different job. He was, even though he reported the same suit.
No, you're not talking about the retaliation anymore.
Retaliation, he's used as a comparator for the retaliation, the termination.
Well, I thought the reason she was terminated was these violations of rules. Right?
That's correct, Your Honor, but
what is it? So, yeah, so go ahead.
The plaintiff has indicated that termination shouldn't have happened because the written reprimand for her not completing the stain card, that she was reprimanded more severely than a comparative person who was not reprimanded for doing the fingerprinting properly. I'm responding to the plaintiff's argument with regard to whether or not there is somebody similarly situated who ends up being terminated. The obvious problem with that is that even with
these
that...
qualifications have nothing to do with that.
That's correct, Your Honor. This is more the comparison in this instance is whether or not this is a similar job, whether they committed a similar mistake, and whether they were similarly disciplined. And in that sense,
they weren't similarly disciplined.
That is true, Your Honor. But they also were not in the same positions.
Well, who cares? Why does that make a difference?
It makes.
Suppose you have a vice president who's male and a secretary who's female. They both steal $100 from the company. Secretary is fired, and the vice president is counseled by the president. You shouldn't steal money, you know, you can borrow it from me or something. I have to steal it. What difference would it make that, from the standpoint of retaliation, that he was in a completely different job?
It's part of the general standards that the court has.
No, I don't buy that. I don't. You tell me what sense it makes, and then we'll see whether the law is senseless or sensible.
Well, and I don't know that that's the most important aspect of the argument. I think focusing on
it's the least important.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, but if you want me to continue, I see my time's up.
The problem is, of course, she was a pain for the company, right? She's a pain. No one wants to have an employee like this. And that, of course, creates a suspicion that there is retaliation. And the fact that Mecki was not reprimanded, didn't get anything in his file when he fingerprinted the wrong person, which sounds like a pretty serious mistake mm-hmm. for a crime lab. You know, we have a long history of scandals involving coroners, right?
Across the United States, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's across the United States, right? So the kind of mistake he made would, I think, be considered serious. It seems odd that he didn't get a written reprimand.
And
the fact that he has a better degree than she does or something, that's irrelevant, right?
No, I agree totally with that.
You could argue with the opposite. You say the better qualified the person is, the higher a standard you hold them to.
I must have misspoken, Your Honor. That is not what I intended to say. The reason his experience is relevant has to do with the failure to promote claim, not with the retaliation leading to termination claim. Focusing on the specific events for which Mr. Mecki was orally reprimanded and Ms. Coolidge was given a written reprimand. At the time that she was given the written reprimand, this was after she had already been reprimanded in the past for a previous offense. And Mr. Mecki did not have that in his background. And if you want to consider both of these, and I think it's arguable about whether both of these events are similarly serious, but assuming they are, you still have to deal with the fact that there was previous discipline that Ms. Coolidge had experienced that Mr. Mecki did not.
And, of course, we have to look at all of this in the context of the backdrop where she had prevailed against the city.
That's true, Your Honor.
Of the harasser and his horrible conduct.
That's true, but there are also other, and that's something the city doesn't deny. That was litigated. It was resolved. The person who was responsible for that no longer worked with the crime lab. There was a new director by the time that these disciplines were taking place. There are a number of distinguishing features. In addition to that, during the same period of time, Ms. Coolidge was promoted twice. So even if there is this background evidence that, yes, there was some sexual harassment.
And the verdict was $300,000.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Which is a fairly serious number.
We take it as such, Your Honor. But we're not disputing that that wasn't serious. The question is whether or not that affected what the crime lab itself did toward her.
Right.
And there's a difference between what Mr. Willoughby did and what the crime lab and its managers did to her.
Okay, well, thank you.
Just one question.
Yeah.
Mr. Eisenberg, did the new director come from outside?
That I can't tell you, Your Honor. I don't know. Oh, well, I guess I could say that he didn't come from within our system, if that's the question.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, your time had expired, Mr. Darst, so we'll move on.